Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach David Bartke here. It is Thursday, July the 6th, 2017. Happy 4th of July to everybody out there. And this week we continue with our ongoing exploration of The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. We're up to Chapter 5, The Secret to Money. David, have you attracted any good money lately?
I have, actually. Yeah, actually a client that had owed me for many sessions finally was able to pay. So I was like, yay.
Oh, all right.
So it felt, you know, even though we did all those sessions, it felt like at one shot, boom, there was a bunch of money.
Now, I have to ask you, did the client also manifest the money?
Yes. Yes, they did.
So yep. this is a double manifest.
A double manifest, yeah. A family member suddenly decided to give her money.
Cool.
And suddenly she had money. So we were all money happy.
We were all money happy, right. So I guess this stuff does work. Well, we better study this chapter then, because this is pretty important stuff. How to attract money into your life.
Yes, but I wanted to know if I could share a good news email I got today, because I think people listening will find it very interesting.
Oh, we always love good news, so go ahead.
Yes, I as you know, I always like to ask for good news emails, because why not, right?
Oh, yeah.
So this person was a client, and I haven't talked to her for about 8 months. So she sent me an email today, and she's like, David, I am crying tears of joy because I want to share this with you. She said, 3 weeks ago, after being self-employed for 8 years, I left that life because I was hired in the editorial department for a major magazine.
Wow.
And because of that, now I'm making double what I was bringing in working for myself, plus I get paid holidays. But that's not all. In a few months, I'll have full benefits, including paid vacation, 401ks, and there's even more. The people that I work with at this place are super nice and great to work with. And just as a little side note, all these things were what she was asking for, okay?
Really?
And yes, and now she said, meanwhile, she still gets to work part-time for herself, and she's even charging more for what she does. And not only that, one of her books got published by a traditional publisher. Like, you know, she didn't have to self-publish, because
wow,
Nowadays a lot of people self-publish.
Yeah.
And another one they're going to publish before the end of the year.
Oh, my goodness.
So she was like, thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your advice, yada, yada, yada. And she's just super excited. I mean, and she manifested all this by learning about the law of attraction and some of the processes, and by shifting her thoughts and focusing on what she wants. And look what happened.
That is fantastic.
Isn't that amazing? I love that.
Well, yeah, stories like that, they just pick you right up. And that certainly has picked us up for this show. I mean, I can just feel the energy being higher.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, this is, you know, a quote, real person.
Yeah.
And who didn't know about the law of attraction too much before I started working with her. And just a short time later, I mean, to me, 8 months is short. You know, I know, like I always tell people, everybody wants everything instantly nowadays, but really 8 months is not that long. I mean,
it's all perspective. It depends on what you consider to be long and what you consider to be short. I mean, it could take the law of attraction doesn't really care about time.
No.
You know, it really comes down to you. So, I mean, it could be 8 minutes or it could be 8 years. It just doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, and I always think in the universe idea of time, 8 months, a year, 2 years is not a long time.
Even though
to us it might feel like it, I always feel like to the universe that's not a long time at all.
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, well, that's what Einstein taught us. I mean, a second or 5 seconds can seem like an eternity. Or a year can seem to slip by like it's nothing. It's all subjective.
Yep. So
that's
very
cool.
I wanted to share that.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you did.
Law of attraction does work, and it's always responding to us, and if we know what to do in the, quote, right way, then we experience the results.
And don't you think it's more meaningful when it's somebody you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
I, I mean, it's not like, you know, reading one of, because Rhonda Byrne has an email list she can share with you, you know, daily the various testimonials that she gets and letters she gets and so forth. But when it's somebody you know, it seems more real.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, wow, someone else actually did it and manifested even beyond what they thought they could, which is so amazing.
Yeah, the beyond part. That's a consistent theme, isn't it? Somebody who is able to manifest, and then it goes beyond what they expected. That happens a lot.
I mean, and she deliberately has been keeping her vibration at a very raised vibration. So I'm not surprised that not only did she attract this dream job, that she's getting paid double, suddenly her books are getting published. I mean, I'm not surprised a lot of wonderful things are happening for her.
Did she have particular things that she was doing? Like, was she doing affirmations, or did she do vision boards, or, you know, what was her motif for keeping her vibration?
She was using, like, some of the processes she learned from me, you know?
So, like, what do you teach?
Well, like, one of the things she expressed before the part I read out loud was, I always have my clients keep a wind journal, okay?
A wind journal.
Which is, so, like, every day, at the end of the day, you have your little wind journal, and you go to a new page, you write the date down, and you just ask yourself, what wins did I have today?
Oh, good.
And you just go through your day, and any win is important to recognize. Like, some people just get caught up, like, in what they consider the big wins. Like, you know, maybe they got extra money, or she got her dream job that day. But even a win, like, you got a parking spot right in front of where you were going. That's a win.
Absolutely.
Or someone says, oh, have a nice day. Like, someone wished you a nice day. That's a win. So she hadn't done that before. And the wonderful thing about the wind journal is that, of course, we know with law of attraction, what we focus on is what we're going to attract. So the more she started spending time tracking her wins and thinking about her wins, what happened? She attracted more wins.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. That's the way it works.
Yeah. And I love for people to keep the wind journal because you can see that. Like, when you first start doing it, maybe, you know, you have two or three or four wins a day, if that. And then as the weeks and days go on, you'll see that, oh, look, now I've got 6 to 8 wins every day, where compared to when I first started, I had half of that.
Yeah, you have a written record that you can be looking back on and basically reliving the wins again.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, like, that was one of the things she was doing to help keep herself at a raised vibration and to attract more wins.
That's good. That's really good. It's actually kind of similar to the three gratitudes that Louise and I do. We don't write them down. But it has very much the same effect, I think, because what you're really doing is, like you say, it doesn't matter how big the win is. The important thing is what the win is. From our perspective is, what are the good things that happened today? That's the way we play it.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to come up with at least three of them. And just by coming up with three of them, you refocus even a bad day. I mean, we could have what seems like a really bad day. And at the end of that bad day, we sit down and we usually do it when we're getting ready to go to sleep. And we say, okay, so what three good things happened today? And by the time you get through them all, it becomes pretty apparent that, wow, I actually had some good stuff happen today, but because I was so focused on that negative stuff, I could have just missed it. I could have just let it slip right by. But now that I focused on it, all of a sudden my mind is starting to shift. It doesn't mean that the bad day goes away. It just means that you stop paying as much attention to it, and you start paying more attention to the good stuff that happened.
Yes, and it's also important what you said, and I tell people this all the time, that even during what we might consider a bad day or a few days, there are still wins happening.
They always
happen.
Even
during those times.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in fact, that's what I have tried to be applying to myself. That is what I've been trying to apply to myself over the last 3 or 4 weeks especially. Going through the day, and as I go through the day and occasionally bad stuff happens, just trying to stop right there and refocus on something good and just take my mind off it because I don't want to be in that mode of feeling like I had a bad day at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I want to feel good about the day during the day too. So
yes,
again,
absolutely.
You know, it's constantly refocusing.
When you really get good at it, like in the moment when a win happens, you're like, ooh, that was a win. And then, ooh, that was a win. That was a win.
And we actually had some pretty good wins on our side here this week. One major win that I have hinted at and told you a little bit about during the show is that My mom lives in currently in long-term care. She's elderly. She's in her 80s. And she had expressed her wish that she could live with family again. She really missed – she was in a senior center, and she had friends there and so forth, but she really missed being with family. My sister, who lives about 3 hours away from her, was in a job that she didn't enjoy with a law firm where she was underpaid and underappreciated. Well, actually, not underappreciated. Now that she's given notice, she's extremely appreciated. And you know how that goes. But
yeah.
It wasn't what she wanted to do. And my sister had kind of an interesting dream. She wants to create a community, an organized community for people who are elderly and infirm, you know, have chronic diseases, cerebral palsy, and you know, stuff that goes on for a lifetime. Have a community for them where there are caregivers who live within the community, including people who need, say, housing or don't have a job or whatever. So basically, they are trading helping the elderly for a place to live and a place to get food and so forth. That's one of her big dreams. Well, she figured, why can't I start that with my mom?
Mm-hmm.
So the last few months, I've been helping her from afar, trying to find and buy a house so that my mom could come to live with her and my sister could take care of her. Well, guess what happened this past week? This past Thursday, we closed on the house.
Yay!
Yeah, not today, but the previous Thursday. And
yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
That's like a big, big win.
That's huge that actually all went through, and yeah.
And there was plenty that could have blocked it. You know how it is with real estate transactions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes they go smoothly, sometimes they don't go smoothly. This was a rough one. There were a number of really rough pieces to this one. And there was a moment there where we were wondering if it was going to happen at all because things got so messed up. But once again, I deliberately applied the law of attraction. And my sister is also a law of attraction devotee. And I reminded her we got to apply the law of attraction.
She said, yeah.
And she would say, yeah. Oh, yeah, right. I got to get my vibration level up. You know? And toward like the last 3 or 4 days where it was really getting kind of dicey, I was hammering that drum. Look at the positive side. This is going to work great. Everybody's working in the same direction. It's going to come together. And my sister got on that bandwagon too. And you know what? The whole thing turned around at the last minute and bam, we had a closing.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. Yes.
So there's one example. And there's also a second example. Now, this is one where this kind of falls into the category of be careful what you wish for. My wife has a gardening business. Basically, we provide gardening services to local residents. Again, largely senior population because our primary target market is people who have had their own gardens for years, but they've gotten to an age where they can't care for them anymore, but they want to keep their gardens. That's our best client. Well, Louise has done this for many years. She actually started this back around 2002 or so. Then there was a break around the time of the financial crash. She sold her business at that point because we could see where things were going, you know, get out of it right now.
Yeah,
and then she
restarted
a few years later. And then we moved again. So that was 4 years ago. And then that means because we moved, we had to start it all over again because we had to get a brand new clientele, right?
Yeah.
Well, so basically we are in our fourth year. And it has gotten to the first 3 years, we were advertising like heck, working really hard at it. My wife was practically working herself into a coma. I mean, just really, really rough go. And over the last year, we've really made a concerted effort to do affirmations, to do the three gratitudes, and to do everything we can to turn things around. And I've been actually playing an active role in helping her turn her business around. And in the course of doing all this, an amazing thing happened. It's actually not so amazing if you know how small businesses grow, but it is amazing in another sense. When you have a small business and you've done it for a while and you start to get name recognition, the word of mouth takes over. You know, the word gets out about who you are. And if you're doing a good job, then it's good word of mouth. If you're not doing a good job, it's bad word of mouth, and it's very hard to overcome. Fortunately, Louise and her team does a very good job, so you know, it's good word of mouth. This year, for the first time, we've actually had to shut down our advertising because there's too much work coming in.
Wow, amazing.
So there's what I mean. It's a case of be careful what you wish for because it might come true. Well, it has come true. And actually, what we're having to figure out now is, in the midst of being insanely busy, how do we streamline stuff so that we can handle the increase in business?
Yes.
Which is a nice problem to have, really.
That's nice, yes.
You know, but it does point to what happens when you use this stuff. You really have to be ready for it. You know, it's not like you have to figure out how it's going to happen. That's actually the least of your worries. The most important thing is when it happens, how are you going to handle it?
Yes. Oh, and I have another, like, more of a fun type win that happened today.
Oh, okay.
I was at the mall with my mom earlier, and we were in this store, and there's this this home decorative piece that I've really liked, and I just haven't gotten it because I just haven't wanted to spend the money. And so we went in, and I'm like, oh, there's that piece I like. And the guy came over, he goes, oh, you know, it's less than half price today.
Ooh, nice.
I'm like, it is? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So, you know, he rang it up, and it was. It was like a little bit less than half of what it originally was. And my birthday's coming up, and my mother said, oh, happy birthday.
That's nice.
So not only did I happen to go in on today when it was a little bit less than half price, it suddenly became like this impromptu birthday gift. So
fantastic.
Like, double win, yay.
Gotta love that. That's a great kind of story. That's really good.
Yeah.
So the stuff does work. I mean, I think it's about time we actually start paying attention to what the book has to teach us on the subject.
Let's hear what the book says.
Because, I mean, there are listeners who want to know, you know, okay, so how can I get in on the game? So let's start off at the beginning of the chapter. Now, this is called The Secret to Money. It's the fifth chapter in the book. And it starts off with a quote from W. Clement Stone, who I actually met, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I actually met Stone one time. I met him. He was in his 90s. He made a presentation. I actually worked for his company. The company, the original company that he started, Combined Insurance Company, I worked for them for about 6 to 8 months. And I did not do well. But I did hear him speak and got to meet him. He was a really strange person, I have to say. but he did have some brilliant stuff to say. And the quote in this particular case is, whatever the mind can conceive, it can achieve. Well, that's what we've been talking about here. We've been conceiving of a number of different things, and we certainly achieved all of them. You know, your client achieved them. My sister achieved it with the purchase of the house. My wife and I have achieved it with the growth of her business. You achieved
that's
it with
right.
I mean, there's no doubt that it's about conceiving it first and achieving it second. So it's a good way to start the book. Goes right to a quote from Jack Canfield. And this is a little bit extensive, but I think it's a good one. So let's read the whole thing.
Okay. All right.
The secret, he says, was a real transformation for me because I grew up with a very negative father who thought that rich people were people that had ripped everyone off and that anyone that had money must have deceived somebody. So I grew up with a lot of beliefs about money, that if you had it, it made you bad. Only evil people have money, and money doesn't grow on trees. Who do you think I am, Rockefeller? That was one of his favorite phrases. So I grew up truly believing that life was difficult. It was only when I met W. Clement Stone, he met him too, that I began to shift my life. When I was working with Stone, he said, I want you to set a goal that's so big that if you achieved it, it would blow your mind. And you would know it's only because of what I've taught you that you would have achieved this goal. Now, at that time, he says, I was making about $8,000 a year. So I said, well, I want to make $100,000 in a year. Now, I had no idea how I could do that. I saw no strategy, no possibility, but I just said, I'm going to declare that. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to act as if it's true and release it. That's a key part, by the way, release it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I did that. Now, one of the things he taught me was every day to close your eyes and visualize the goal as if it was already achieved. I had actually made a $100,000 bill that I'd put on the ceiling. So first thing in the morning, I'd look up, and there it was. And it would remind me that this was my intention. Then I would close my eyes and visualize having this $100,000-a-year lifestyle. Interestingly enough, nothing major happened for about 30 days. I didn't have any great breakthrough ideas. No one was offering me more money. About 4 weeks into it, I had a $100,000 idea. It just came right into my head. I had a book I had written, and I said, you know, if I could sell 400,000 copies of my book at a quarter each, that'd be $100,000. Uh-huh. Now, the book was there, but I had never had this thought. And one of the secrets of the secret is that when you have an inspired thought, you have to trust it and act on it. I didn't know how I was going to sell 400,000 copies. And then I saw the National Enquirer at the supermarket. Now, I had seen that millions of times. It was just background. And all of a sudden, it just jumped out at me as foreground. I thought, you know, if readers knew about my book, certainly 400,000 people would go out and buy it. Which I thought was rather, you know, optimistic, but hey, good for him,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
About 6 weeks later, he says, I gave a talk at Hunter College in New York to 600 teachers. And afterward, a woman approached me and said, that was a great talk. I want to interview you. Let me give you my card. And as it turns out, she was a freelance writer who sold her stories to the, drumroll please, the National Enquirer. He says, the theme from the Twilight Zone went off in his head like, whoa, this stuff's really working. The article came out, and our book sales started to take off. The point I want to make, he says, is that I was attracting into my life all these different events, including this person. To make a long story short, I did not make $100,000 that year. We made $92,327. But do you think we were depressed and saying, this doesn't work? No, we were saying, this is amazing.
Yes.
So my wife said to me, well, if it worked for $100,000, do you think it'd work for $1 million? I said, I don't know. I think so. Let's try it. He finishes off by saying,
amazing.
Well, he's not quite done yet. He says, my publisher wrote me a royalty check for our first Chicken Soup for the Soul book. And he actually put a smiley face in his signature because it was the first $1 million check he'd ever written.
Wow.
So there's the story of how Jack Canfield became a millionaire writing Chicken Soup for the Soul, a book that he didn't even know what to do with the darn thing. He thought about selling it at a quarter a copy.
Wow, amazing,
and that's like one of the biggest franchises, you know, book franchises of all time.
Yes. I love it. Yes.
So apparently this secret of attracting money really works.
Yep. And again, we don't have to know how.
No, we don't
have
to know.
He didn't know all that was going to happen.
Although I have to admit, I've always been curious about that, so I've always investigated. But still, we do not really have to know how it works in order to make it work. I mean, it's like you don't have to know how electricity works in order to turn on a light. You just flip the switch.
That's true.
You know?
And we expect it to come on.
Yeah, we do expect it. Isn't that funny? No. It's actually a shock when it doesn't come on. Well, hopefully it's not a shock. The wrong kind of shock. You know, electric. You know, you don't want electric shock from flipping the white light switch. That's time to bring an electrician in. But you know what I mean? It's a surprise if it doesn't come on.
That's right.
Well, imagine if we could apply the same level of belief to attracting this seemingly impossible thing.
That's right.
If we could do that, then guess what happens? The light switch comes on.
Yeah, and that's part of what we should be doing.
It is what we should be doing. Yeah. And not just with wealth. I mean, with everything. That's really
anything.
The point of the secret. I mean,
this
particular chapter is about wealth, but it's really about everything.
Absolutely.
It's about our relationships. It's about our health. It's about if you have weight issues, if you have drug abuse issues, if you've got abusive relationships, if it's employment issues. I mean, it doesn't matter what the issues are. We can apply it to all of them.
Yep. About focusing on what you want over what you don't want.
So if you had been Jack Canfield's coach and he had told you that W. Clement Stone had told him to make a 100,000 check and put it on his ceiling and visualize it every day, what would you have said to him?
I would have said, that's perfect, because the more you look at it and visualize it, the more real it will start feeling. The more real it starts feeling means that you have less resistance about it. And the less resistance you have about something, the more you allow it in.
Resistance, that's the key, isn't it? That's the key that we want to overcome. I mean, they write about it here in this chapter. They say, the only reason any person does not have enough money is because they are blocking it from coming to them with their thoughts. Every negative thought, feeling, or emotion is blocking your good from coming to you, and that includes money. It is not that the money is being kept from you by the universe, because all the money you require exists right now in the invisible. If you do not have enough, it is because you are stopping the flow of money coming to you, and you are doing that with your thoughts. And we talked about this last week, how that can seem impossible when you first read it. Like, I'm not stopping it with my thoughts.
Yes.
It's quite an eye-opener, the more that you pay attention and study yourself, study your own behavior, to know that and to discover, really, to discover the various ways that we end up blocking ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite amazing. I mean, because when I had that experience for sure. I could not imagine how I was blocking myself.
Yeah.
And yet over time, it's like you get little bits and pieces of it, like little peelings get peeled off periodically. You know, like you're peeling an onion or something like that. It's not like you get this. It's not like you get a knife cutting through the onion all the way, and all of a sudden now you see all the layers. That's not the way it normally happens. Normally you get a one layer at a time.
Yes. That's why I like the expression "I allow." Like, you know, just get used to whatever it is you want. Like, I allow an unlimited amount of money to easily flow into my life.
To allow, that's an interesting way of doing it. Why did you choose allow?
I like allow because there's no resistance to allow.
That's true.
When you say that, I allow an unlimited amount of money to easily flow into my life. It just sounds so simple. And it sounds simple and possible, you know?
Right, because that's the key. We have to be able to believe it. So it's really about convincing ourselves.
And
allow is a good way to do that, because when I allow that something's going to happen, it's like I've given permission.
And we don't. And again, with having zero concern about how.
Right. Although, in the next part of the book here, Dr. Joe Vitale says, I can imagine what a lot of people are thinking. How can I attract more money into my life?
Yes. That's right. And that's where it's easy to get hung up.
But, of course, he's trying to ask that question from a more of a vernacular, because that's the way people tend to think about it. You know, how can I do this? How can I do it? Well, it turns out that the answer to that question is what we've been talking about. You don't actually try to figure out how. You simply perform the activities of positivity, of allowing, of feeling good, of practicing gratitudes, of keeping wind journals, of doing all the things that you have to do in order to redirect your attention to the positive.
Yes, and to deliberately start spending more of your time doing that.
Because if you don't do that, then you get to what Bob Proctor talked about. He says, most people have a goal of getting out of debt, and that will keep you in debt forever. Whatever you're thinking about, you will attract. You say, but it's getting out of debt. He says, I don't care if it's getting out or getting in. If you're thinking in debt, you're attracting debt. Set up an automatic debt repayment program and then start focusing on prosperity.
Yes, that goes back to when you think of what you don't want, you're really thinking of what you do want.
Yeah, that actually confused me a lot when I read The Secret and saw the movie. In fact, that was one of the reasons I got the DVD, so I could watch in the movie what I'd read in the book and see if it made any more sense. And it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make any more sense. But it took me a long time to figure out why I was confused about it. What was messing me up? It wasn't until I heard the Abraham Hicks thing that we talked about last week, about the two-ended stick, the thing and the lack of thing.
When I
heard about that stick, then it started to make sense to me, because typically we think of no as being the opposite of yes. We think of not as being the opposite of is, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it really isn't. Truly the opposite of, say, it is not non-existent, it's lack of it. And that seems like such a subtle distinction. It seems like a distinction that's, you know, meaningless, but it's actually a very important distinction, because you really can't visualize nothing. There's no way to do that. And yet we try to, because, well, we don't try deliberately to do so, but we certainly vicariously do it, because what do we talk about? We talk about all the things that aren't.
Right.
So many of us go through our lives talking about in fact, Louise and I were talking about this the other day. We were pointing out how the words "you're welcome" are pretty much gone from the vernacular. You know, people say thank you all the time, but who says you're welcome? Nobody says that. What's the most common response to it? No problem. Well, what a wonderful thing that is. Let's focus on problem here, you know?
Oh, God.
So it actually makes a big deal of difference. You want to actually focus on a "you're welcome" rather than a "no problem," because "no problem" focuses on problem, whereas "you're welcome."
You're inviting a problem. Yeah, you're inviting a problem.
Whereas "you're welcome" focuses on being welcome.
Yes.
an entirely different feeling, an entirely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lisa Nichols tries to fill in the gap even more by saying, when you focus on lack and scarcity and what you don't have, you fuss about it with your family. You discuss it with your friends. You tell your children that you don't have enough. We don't have enough for that. We can't afford that. And then you'll never be able to afford it, because to begin to attract more of what you want, the way I read that didn't make any sense. I'll try that again. Then you'll never be able to afford it, because you begin to attract more of what you don't have. If you want abundance, if you want prosperity, then focus on abundance. Focus on prosperity.
Yes.
And that's the key point.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because that's another thing. It's easy to get caught up in what you don't have, and you discuss it with your family and friends, and that's just reinforcing what you don't have even more.
David Shermer says, when I first understood the secret, every day I would get a bunch of bills in the mail, and I thought, how do I turn this around? The law of attraction states that what you focus on, you will get. So I got a bank statement. I whited out the total. Does anybody use whiteout anymore? I whited out the total and put a new total in there. I put exactly how much I wanted to see in the bank. So I thought, what if I just visualize checks coming in the mail? So I visualized a bunch of checks coming in the mail. And within just 1 month, things started to change. It was amazing. Today, I still get checks in the mail. I get a few bills, but I get more checks than bills.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. One thing that I did at one point when I was really in a bad spot financially, I would get big bills and small checks.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't feeling good about that, which, of course, is counterproductive.
Right.
So I said, okay, well, how can I turn this around? So I decided to change my attitude about the small checks. So when a small check came in, I did a dance and I celebrated, like, yeah, the money's coming in, baby.
Yes, fantastic. Yes.
I would kiss the check, like, yes, more in the bank. I love it.
Absolutely.
And things did start to turn around. Not as quickly as I would have wanted to, perhaps, but they did start to turn around. And as I look back on it, I realize now it was, once again, our old friend resistance getting in the way. I was blocking myself.
That's right, and I'm glad you said it, because I was going to say something similar, because I get various royalty checks, and some of them are not that big, but I also do the same thing. I'm like, yay, I got unexpected income, because I want to put out and be in that vibration.
Right.
And not in the vibration of, ugh, this is such a small check, it's so silly, because I want to attract more of the other.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's a mind game that we're playing with ourselves.
To the
uninitiated, to the people who have not participated in this kind of crazy thinking, it sounds crazy. But you know what? This kind of crazy thinking really does work. It works because we shift our thinking. We shift our perspective when we do it. Just the act of making a big deal out of a small check shifts our thinking about it. It shifts how we feel about it.
And equals shifting your vibration about it.
It does, exactly. Yeah. That was the other thing that threw me early on, was the concept of vibration. And even the idea that vibration was feeling kind of threw me. But what made a difference for me, what made it make more sense, so to speak, was recognizing eventually that when you have positive feeling, it feels easy. It feels like it just kind of, it's not like you have to work at it. It just kind of feels easy.
It feels so much better, right? It just feels better.
And when you're in the negative vibration, it feels hard. Everything feels hard.
Yep.
And when I realized the easy, hard thing, I could kind of equate easy as high vibration and hard as low vibration. Because, you know, it's kind of like if, let's say you have a, you know, some sort of a motor turning. And if you try to grab it with your hands to slow it down, that's really hard to do. Not to mention you'll probably chap your hands, you know, a good deal.
Yeah.
But if you just let go, it just flies. It just, you know, it speeds up. It goes smoothly. It rotates faster and faster. It's easy.
That reminds me of the momentum word. Like, you know, a lot of us have a strong momentum at first about focusing on lack and what we don't want, and a very small momentum about focusing on what we do want. But with practice, you can shift that. So your negative momentum is going slower than the positive momentum.
And you know what? As you transition, as you get, as I was getting more and more into a positive vein and getting a higher and higher vibration level, I wasn't really noticing it. It took a long time before I recognized it was happening. And then when I saw it was happening, it was like, oh, yeah. It caught me by surprise more than anything else. It wasn't like there was this big, you know, it wasn't like the heavens opened up like, ta-da, here we go. No, it wasn't like that at all. It was very subtle, very, very subtle. So that's probably the most important thing I've learned out of this. This kind of increase in vibration doesn't arrive with thunder and lightning and fireworks. It arrives subtly with a cool breeze.
Yes, but then the more aware you become of it, like in my experience, the more aware I became of it, then the more aware I did become of feeling at a lower or higher vibration.
Oh, sure, yeah. You start to become addicted to it, which is the best thing.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wait a minute. No, I need to raise myself. Let me do something to raise myself.
And I told the stories earlier, both about my sister and my mom with the house and my wife with her business. Lately, I have found myself to be in the role of being the support giver. And in that role, that's a place where you have to be really positive. Because otherwise, you get worn down fast. You get worn down real fast. And even if you're staying positive, you can still get worn down. I experienced that a couple of days ago. I mean, I was going and going. I was giving support, and all of a sudden, I just go crash. I couldn't even handle it anymore. No, but I slept for a while, and I got up, and I was fine again. The point, though, is by keeping myself into a positive space, I was able to help them stay in a more positive space and help them to attract what they want. And by the same token, I have to make sure that I'm feeding myself, that I'm feeding my own positivity, because if I don't, then I can have that crash and burn like I had. And how do you achieve that feeding of yourself the positivity? By staying there as long as you can and constantly refocusing on the positive stuff going on. So it's an art form and it's a skill all built into one. And once you get it going, like you say, you get the momentum. The momentum starts to carry you after a while.
That's right. I mean, an easy process that I like to do and I tell people about is just randomly asking yourself, what do I want and why do I want it? And just get caught up in a big chain of all the things you want and why you want them. And before you know it, you're just going to feel so much raised vibration than you did before.
And it can seem like a lot of work at first.
It can, yes.
You know? So probably the most important thing is just to say, do it anyway.
Yes, and that the reason for that, well, there's a few, but people that I've worked with that have done that, they do experience a shift where it suddenly doesn't feel like a lot of work, and it suddenly feels like so much better that they look forward to doing it.
Mm-hmm. There's also the side that says, going through adversity in order to come out the other side, can actually grow you, you know? And so even if things aren't working out the way you want them to, it's still worth staying with the positive mindset, because what's happening during the by and by is you're getting stronger. You're becoming a stronger person because you're getting through a difficult time and you're learning from it. You're picking up skills you didn't have before and you're picking up experience you didn't have before. And by the time you get through to the other side, you look back on it and you say, oh, well, that was easy now. And it is easy now by that point because you have learned the skills. Before you started going through it, you didn't have those skills, so it was harder at that point. It gets easier because you go through the hard stuff and stay focused.
And something that I just heard Abraham say, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, is that Abraham with Esther Hicks was saying that there's a lot going on in the unseen. And we have to realize that. And that's another reason why it's so important to stay high vibration and positive about things we want to attract. Because just because we can't see something coming together in the way we want it to, it doesn't mean it's not coming together.
Oh, absolutely true. I mean, the most amazing thing I would say to me about how this whole process works is how if I try to map out a path about how something's going to happen, it almost never works that way. But if I go through something and then look back on the path, I look at the path and I say to myself, Hollywood couldn't have invented that one.
It just doesn't make any sense. There's no way anybody could have mapped out that path. It has so many crazy turns and twists and circuitous routes and going, you know, all the way around, and all of a sudden end up over there. Like, huh?
Yeah.
Who figured that one out? You know.
Yeah. So if we could just trust that, okay, even though I'm not seeing how X, Y, and Z is going to manifest, I know that it's happening. And like, if you can just really get to a place where you can trust that, that can also help you shift into a more deliberate, positive, higher vibration.
I think that's one of the reasons that it's often good to go through adversity, because when you go through the adversity, first of all, while you're in it, it doesn't seem like there's any way out.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look back on how you came through it, you say to yourself, how could I have mapped that? You really couldn't have. And once you realize that you really couldn't have, now you've gotten that affirmation you just looked for, that you just stated, that, you know, you can actually see that there were unseen forces going on. You can't necessarily see them. You can't, but you can see the path that they make, so to speak. You can see the residue that they leave behind. So, yeah, they are there. Even though we can't see them, we now have evidence that they're there, because we went through adversity and crazy things happened, and all of a sudden something good came out of it. And all we ended up doing throughout that whole process was trying to focus on good stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that could be a lot to ask of someone, like to tell them, like, you know, there's unseen things happening to make what you want happen. You just have to trust that, because, you know, you have to get to a certain point where you're like, okay, yeah, I can totally trust that. But if you can get yourself to that point, it makes a huge difference.
Well, that's where the affirmations come in. That's where the wind journals come in. Because they give us something to do. They give us something to do. You know, even if you start with virtually zero belief or pretty darn close to zero belief, you can still get there just by doing the exercises.
Yeah.
The only trick to it is doing them consistently.
That's right. You have to practice.
Because most people don't. Most people will give up pretty easily. And I know, because I gave up at least 40 or 50 times. But I still went after it the 51st time.
but there was something within yourself that still resonated with the truth of it, which is why you kept going back.
Yeah. For me, I realized that part of my nature is to kind of trip and fall and pick up again and trip and fall and pick up again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just have to be willing to keep getting up. And if I'm willing to keep getting up and keep trying, even though the thing doesn't seem to be working, because I know consciously it's supposed to work, you know, abstractly I know it's supposed to work. Even if I can't see it in reality, the abstraction tells me, yeah, it's supposed to work. It's supposed to work. You might as well just keep doing it. And that starts to overcome the momentum. Or I should say it starts to overcome the what's the reverse of momentum? The inertia, the thing that stops you.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to overcome the inertia just because the little fits and starts, even if I'm not doing it perfectly at first, even if I do it for a few days and I stop, and then I do it for a few days and I stop, and then I stop for a while and then I do it for a few days, eventually I overcome the inertia just because I kept, you know, whatever way I could do it, however inconsistently it was, I just kept going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the process, I got better.
Yep.
That's the key. You get better.
And I mean, even just at a minimum, like sometimes if I'm talking with someone who's like very new to the law of attraction, and I kind of take them through a process, and in a few minutes they've experienced the difference in how you feel from thinking about the lack of something, like say money, for example, and then the abundance of money, most people can at least feel that difference. And that's where they think, okay, there's something to this. Like, yes, I definitely feel better talking about if I had a lot of money, what I would do with all of it, compared to thinking about the lack of money. So even in a very basic way, you can relate to it in that way.
Yep. Now, there's also the school of thought that The Secret touches upon, the idea of giving money to get money.
Mm-hmm.
Giving, according to Rhonda Byrne, is a powerful action to bring more money into your life, because when you are giving, you are saying, I have plenty.
Yes.
It will not be surprising to you to learn that the wealthiest people on the planet are the greatest philanthropists. They give away vast amounts of money, and as they give, by the law of attraction, the universe opens up and floods vast amount of money back to them, multiplied.
You mean they're not just doing it for tax purposes?
Well, probably some of them are, but they still end up getting it back anyway.
Well, they can't. But no, I think that's truth, yes.
And if you are thinking, I don't have enough money to give, bingo, now you know why you don't have enough money.
That's right. That's right.
When you don't have, and the takeaway there is, it isn't so much about whether you're giving, it's about the fact that you're constantly saying to yourself, I don't have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Esther Hicks does a great one on that one.
Yeah.
She does. She beats the drum. Abraham, as Esther is transmitting Abraham's words, she does this really great routine on it, where she says, I don't have enough money, 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 he's got too much money, she's got too much money, I don't have enough money. And the point being that is a sort of a metaphorical description of how we often go through our days, finding different ways of saying, I don't have enough money.
Yes, yes.
So what's the trick?
And I think what you were about to say is that she goes, you're beating the drum.
You're beating the drum.
Not having enough money, not having enough money, not having enough money. You got to change your story and start beating the drum of having enough money.
So you change the way that you repeat over and over again. I've got money coming in. My money is increasing. I have more income than I had before. This is growing. Mm-hmm. I am in a growth mode right now. The money is starting to flow here. The money is starting to come through. I'm finding all of a sudden I've got spending power.
And also, don't you think, and you probably noticed this, I've noticed this, you were talking about when you give money away, when I've donated money or even things, it just feels so good.
It
feels so good. And that also has something to do with it. It's that good feeling you get from in donating money is you're putting yourself in a feel-good place of money again.
And it isn't even giving money. It's giving of yourself. It's giving something. It's helping somebody else out.
Yes.
That's really what you're doing. Because when you help somebody else out, well, you're doing two things. First of all, you don't have time to say, I don't have enough money. And secondly, you're helping somebody else out. You're helping somebody else to achieve their dreams. And in the process, you are kind of vicariously living their positive dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And by vicariously living their positive dreams, you are starting the process of building your own dreams. The positive ones, not the ones that you keep repeating over and over again about how I don't have enough money or my health isn't good enough or my relationship sucks. No, you start changing it around because I helped somebody to make a relationship with the love of their life. I helped my sister to get a house for my mom to take care of my mom. I helped my wife to build up her business. And all these positive things start flowing through my head after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that positivity starts to develop that momentum we were talking about.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
So we've only got a couple minutes left, so I'm going to kind of zip through to the end of the chapter. We actually covered most of it. But just to touch on some of the secret summaries at the end of the book, the last summary page. Bullet one, to attract money, focus on wealth. It is impossible to bring more money into your life when you focus on the lack of it. Bullet two, it is helpful to use your imagination and make believe you already have the money you want. Play games of having wealth and you will feel better about money. And as you feel better about it, more will flow into your life. Boy, that's what we've been talking about, exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Bullet three, feeling happy now is the fastest way to bring money into your life. In fact, Abraham Hicks did a great one on that. They said, we understand that you're getting so confused about all this stuff, so we create a really simple program for you. Here's the real simple program. Be happy.
Yes.
That's really it at the bottom, at the nutshell.
And part of that, too, is because also what Abraham Hicks says is that why do we want what we want? Because we think it'll make us happier, whether it's money or a relationship or whatever it is. So if you keep yourself in the vibration of being really happy, then you can't help but attract those things to you.
Few more bullet points. Give money in order to bring more into your life. Visualize checks in the mail. Tip the balance of your thoughts to wealth. Think wealth. Think wealthy. And that's really the bottom line right there. Now, what's the big takeaway here, David? What's the number one thing that we should take away from this chapter?
Well, I just think to force ourselves to deliberately focus on having more money, more money, more money, and other things you would do if you have more money than focusing on anything having to do with lack of money.
Yes. Yes. We want thing, not lack of thing. I would also say that it's probably not a good idea to spend all your time focusing on money. I mean,
that is true too.
It's not like, because that this is actually a part that we haven't spent a whole lot of time on. It when you're visualizing, there's the three-step process that they talked about earlier in the book, right? There's ask,
right.
There's believe, and there's receive.
Mm-hmm.
And a key portion to believing is letting go of what you asked for.
Yeah.
You have to let go of it. So if you're constantly focusing on money, guess what you're not doing? You're not letting go of it.
Yes.
You got to let it go out there into the universe. If you're holding on to it, the universe is saying, yeah, okay, so give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting.
And a lot of times, if money is like your big thing, a lot of times it isn't good to spend a lot of time focused on the big thing you want, because there's typically a lot of resistance around that.
There is.
So it's good sometimes to focus on something easier for you, whatever that is.
Well, plus, I mean, I'm sure you've noticed this with your clients. I've noticed it in my own life. When you're focusing on the money all the time, it gets really easy to fall into the lack mode.
Yeah.
Even when you're deliberately staying on the positive side, all of a sudden you find yourself on the negative side. Like, how the heck did I get over there?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're so habitual about it, aren't we? I mean, we've been trained by our society to think negatively. Those of us who are struggling with a lack of money are the ones who have been, you know, inundated by the concept. We live with it every single day, right?
You know, just think of all the media and the news about lack of money. We're like, we're always inundated with images and words about lack of money. It's just like,
So it's no surprise then that when we find ourselves focusing on the positive side of it and all of a sudden we find ourselves over on the negative side, it's no surprise, because that's what we've been trained to do. What we're trying to accomplish here is to reverse the training, and that doesn't happen instantly. It takes some time. That's why they talk about it in The Secret, how there's a delay effect. That's what the delay effect is. It's learning how to reprogram ourselves to stay where we want to stay and not slide back over to that other side. Because we all do it. We fall back to that other side.
And sometimes even, like, I've watched some of these, like, financial gurus on TV, like, give lectures. And sometimes that can also have a reverse effect, because by the time they're done, it makes you think about, like, oh, I don't have that much money in my 401. I don't have that much money in my savings. And I don't have my emergency fund. And by the time you're done with the lecture, your vibration about money has gone down to zero.
Oh, yeah. It can be self-defeating just because you feel like you're never going to be a part of that.
Yeah. So you have to be so careful with what you're watching and paying attention to, because you could think it's going to be something that's going to help you, but vibrationally, it's totally bringing you down.
That's why I like the Abraham Hicks approach. The idea of simplifying it down to just two words, be happy.
Yeah.
Because if you focus on being happy, you're not just attracting happiness, you're attracting money, and you're attracting health, and you're attracting relationships, and you're attracting wealth, and you're attracting everything. You're attracting all the stuff you've been wanting to attract, but you're able to let go of it because all you're really focused on is being happy and finding finding the joy in life.
That's right. And why not be? I mean, I always think, like, you know, none of us know whether we have, like, today is going to be our last day here, or 100 years from now is going to be our last day here. So I'd rather go through whatever I have left, whether it's a day or 100 years, deliberately being happy than not.
Right. Oh, yeah. Joel used to say, yesterday you can't do anything about, tomorrow isn't promised, all we have is today. So live for today. And he's right. That's exactly what you do. You live for today. You live for right now. Because this is it. I mean, I'm 60 years old, David. I say that, and I say, how can I be 60 years old? I mean, I feel like I'm 25 still.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But on a calendar, I'm 60 years old. Okay, well, what am I going to do about the fact that my life didn't go the way I wanted it to for the first 60 years? Well, I can continue to focus on that, or I can say, you know what? I got right now.
That's right.
What happened the last 60 years doesn't really matter. I mean,
it gave
me a lot of strength.
What you're happy with right now.
It gave me a lot of strength. I've gone through a lot of adversity. That adversity has made me a lot stronger. You know, so that's the good side about it. But why would I want to focus on it any more than that? I got what I needed out of it. It's done. It's behind me.
Yeah, sometimes people think they have to know the reason why they're not feeling good, like vibrationally. Oh, don't I have to go back to my childhood and know why? Why? And I'm like, no, because by doing that, you're just keeping yourself longer in this vibration.
Well, I will say this. If you are so stuck that you find you can't take your mind off of the past, then by all means, go to a therapist long enough to get some therapy to get out whatever that thing is. Just don't stay there.
Yeah.
Don't stay there. That's the thing that's wrong. Staying there is what defeats
you. Staying there, yes. Because some people, I would say, you know, not everyone needs to go back and know why or try to figure out why they're not happy or what in some area of their life hasn't gone like they wanted to. Like, let's focus now on getting it how you want to.
And quite honestly, you know inside whether you really need to go back like that. If you're asking the question, do I need to go back? Guess what? You don't need to. But if you really had something horribly traumatic that you've got to work through somehow, you know you have to go work through that. Because you want to get ahead. The people who actually have something to go into therapy about, they know they need to go to therapy because they want to get out of this stuck place that they're in. And that's the only reason you do it. That's what therapy is for. But if you're asking the question, should I go back and do
this? Yeah, but at some point, you got to say, okay, let me start working now on getting myself to where I want to be.
They're the ones who want to do it the most. The people, not the people who are committed to it by a court, the people who decide on their own that they want to go back there, they want to get out of there fast. They want to get on with their lives. So they have motivation to do it. Now, sadly, there are a large percentage of the population who go to therapy because they're talked into it or because a judge made them do it or, you know, they cracked up a car or they were drunk driving or something like that. And they're the ones who aren't likely to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who are likely to stay stuck because they have a vested interest in staying stuck, as strange as that sounds to say. But it's really true. They have taught themselves that they are going to stay stuck. And so they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
But even with money, like I've had people say to me, well, how come I haven't been able to attract a lot of money in my life? I want to know why. Like, was it because my parents had a lack and they pass it down to me? Or they go into all these reasons, and I'm like, well, let's start working on shifting your vibration about money so you can start attracting more.
Yeah, all that may be true.
Would you rather do that, or would you rather stay and continue to think about how much money you don't have? And then most of the time, those screw clicks in their mind are like, oh, you know, you're right, let's go from here forward.
Well, Jack Canfield had a really great thing to say about that in The Secret. He says, everybody has a story like that. Everybody has some story about, you know, how they were taught the wrong stuff. He even told about his own father who said, I'm not Rockefeller. I'm not made out of money. Money doesn't grow on trees, all that kind of stuff. Everybody's got a story like that. But as Canfield, he says, that just falls into the category of so what?
Right.
So what?
Right.
Okay, so you have that background.
Right.
Stop focusing on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stop focusing on what's not going to get you anywhere. Because you know, I mean, the law of attraction teaches us very clearly, you know that focusing on that isn't going to get you the wealth you want.
That's right.
So maybe it's time to change the pattern.
And when I ask people, is it going to serve you more to focus on all the possible reasons about why you're not attracting whatever it is, or is it going to serve you more to start taking action, to start attracting what you want? And of course, I always say, no, I want to start attracting what I want. That's kind of like a good way to phrase it to people, because that's what we want to start letting go of why, and start saying yes to attracting what we want.
And the good news is, it's in our power. It's not like we are dependent upon somebody else to solve this. It's in our power. And it's just based on our choice. Are we willing to change our choices? Because if we are, we can do it.
You can have what you want. You can.
We can. No doubt about it. Well, our hour is almost up here. David, before we say goodbye to everybody, why don't you tell them where they can find more out about Life Coach David?
Sure. You can find out more about me at lifecoachdavid.com, and there's some great information. And if you maybe are interested in coaching, you could even find out how to do it from there.
Oh, okay. So you're going to help people become coaches. Of course, they can also continue to listen to us here on LOA Today. We love having you in our audience. Listen to us here on PRN. You can find us in the Apple iTunes Store. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Facebook. And by all means, subscribe to us on our website, loatoday.net. So lots of ways to sign up and listen and stay in the positive zone just by listening to LOA Today. David, it's been a pleasure as usual.
Thank you, Walt. Same here.
We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.